Sit Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
What's up, y'all? It's JK3.
Disappointing loss against the Commanders in Washington, 28-22. But before we jump into that too much, let's start with where we watch the game, because I think one of us is probably going to have a more impressive situation when it comes to this answer. But Derek, how about you first? Where did you watch the game? What was your away game experience?
Man, let me tell you something. I started the game at home. Then we had a wedding to go to, so I switched to the car. And when we got to the venue, there were a couple other people listening to the game. I let the doors open. I cut the radio on. When that last pick happened, when that pick happened, because he only threw one, you heard a collective in the parking lot, oh, and I cut the radio off, and we all went inside.
Nice. Okay. That sounds good. I went to... I guess, JK3, you always get on to me for mentioning specific businesses when they don't pay us. So I went to something that rhymes with Byland Kings on Southside Boulevard. I tried to go to the one near us, Derek, in Durbin, but it was just ridiculous. So we drove to the other one and luckily got the last table. First of all, and then we'll go move to the person who had the better experience.
I don't know, like, man. Island Wing Cafe. I mean, Mylan Ming is good. I like it.
No, it is. I like it. But they weren't showing the Jags game on, but like a couple TVs. And I get it because, you know, I guess Jaguars might be watching at home or something like that. But it's like, you know, we're in Jacksonville, so
it makes me so angry when that happens. It's like
she got snappy with the waiter a little bit about that.
It makes me so angry. It's like, dude, you're here in Jacksonville. Like, I understand you're here in Jacksonville. If the Dolphins are playing, you know, give them a little bit of love. If the Falcons are playing, give them a little love too. But I shouldn't have to watch Arizona and somebody play if I'm in Jacksonville.
I mean? I had the most annoying mouth breathing Steelers fans behind us that were trying to get every TV on the Pittsburgh game. But anyway, it was fine. The chairs there kill your bottom, so that was not great. But you know, it was an okay experience. All right, so let's move on from those to JK3. Where were you at for the game?
I was at FedEx Field. Field, man. It was an awesome time. A great showing of Jags fans. There was a ton of Jags fans there. More than I expected to see. And one of the things that I love too is that they were sitting on the Jags side all the way up, you know, and it was good. It was just really good just to see a collective amount of Jags fans. A lot of people talk about how bad FedEx Field is, and it's got good bones. It could be updated. You know what I mean? The Jumbotron. And before I even get into that, like the Jumbotrons, like ours are so much better. Our in-game entertainment is so much better. The Jags really do a really top-notch job as far as like in-game entertainment and crowd activity, and things like that. I mean, even the whole production of the NFL game is from the Jaguars' perspective is probably one of the best that I've seen. While going to some of these away games, but 15 bucks for a Bud Light, like 20 bucks for chicken tenders and fries. I mean, you shouldn't go anywhere in America and chicken tenders and fries be $20.
Yeah.
I don't even think at Jay Alexander's they're $20. They might be like $19.99. And Jay Alexander's is way nicer than going to an NFL stadium. But
did you buy overall, them? Did you buy anything?
No. What? No, man. I couldn't do it. The only time I've like ever felt compelled to buy any stadium food was at Truist Park in Atlanta because there's just so many options. I mean, I went with the sushi when I went there, which is very questionable to get sushi from a baseball field. But it was good. Huh. But overall, man, no, great time. DC is an awesome place. Bold City Brigade travels very well. Jags fans unite. You know, it's just awesome to be at places and, you know, people ask you where you're from, if you're from Jacksonville. And then, you know, we had some people from Hampton Roads, Virginia. I met a dude from Delaware. I met somebody else from the D.C. area that was in the military, you know, by way of Jacksonville. That was awesome. And then just meeting a couple, you know, people that are from the, you know, the Northeast that are traveling because, you know, D.C. is so accessible, you know, up there. And I think that's one thing, too, that you don't really get like here in the South. The cities are kind of so spread apart. So you get like, you know, Baltimore is not very far from D.C. And, you know, Connecticut, Delaware, all those places up there, I guess you would call it, you know, aren't far away. So if you're a fan, it's really accessible to see. And so, yeah, it was an awesome time. You know, it stinks that, you know, we lost by six. But, you know, it was a great time. You know, I've seen them win or excuse me, I've seen them lose more times on the road than I have, you know, seen them win. So it becomes numb. But all great time. Great time.
Last thing on the experience, how were the Washington fans? One, like, just how were they in general at the game, but then how were they towards you guys?
They were chippy. Like, it was so during the game, I had a guy that was sitting next to me. And he would always, you know, mock every time, you know, Duval, and then every time the Skins, or excuse me, the Commanders did something, you know, it was like, you know, he would yell, and it's like, dude, it doesn't work that way. It's not how it works. And then so, but on the way out, it was pretty chippy on the way out. Like, and wow. I would say that's the worst part about going to away games is like you gotta show some type of class, right? And like going on Derek's, you know, tangent like a couple of weeks ago, like, don't touch me, you know, we're fine. But, you know, you got to walk. That's the problem. You got to take your L on the chin, walk out, head held high. They're yelling some pretty choice words. And, yeah, but it was good. Overall, I mean, I wouldn't trade the experience for the world, man. I would love to go to it again. I'd do it all over.
Yeah. I think Derek in that episode was commenting on the fight that broke out in the preseason game stand with the Steelers fans.
Hey, man. Remember that? You touch me, you touch whoever I'm with, I'm swinging. Forget, no talking. I'm swinging. So, end of story. Next.
Nice. Derek, how did the game itself, obviously we're disappointed because they lost, and I know there's some noise out there as well on a couple points that we'll cover, but how did everything align with your expectations from the last episode?
Y'all ready? You sure you ready?
Yes.
You sure you ready? Okay, first of all, everybody that has said on whether it's Twitter,
well, social first of all, media, whenever Facebook, whenever you start that, at first off, it makes me think about Tupac. First off,
gotta
hit him up.
Yeah. Anybody that says that Trevor Lawrence isn't the guy or isn't that good or they need to look at that or he missed a lot of throws, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Ooh.
Okay. None. Zilch. Okay. And it's not because I'm anointing him the next, you know, great quarterback. It's his 18th start. He's got new receivers. He's got new everything. An offseason, a mini camp, and a trip to the Bahamas and to Clemson running in shorts is not going to work for timing. What you saw Sunday is what's going to help fix that. So that's the first thing. If anyone ever says, no. Fine. Get Blake and get Blaine back in here. We'll go get them.
Blake took us to the AFC Championship.
Blake didn't take us to the AFC Championship game. That's all. That defense took us to the AFC Championship game.
All I'm saying, the boat sailed north. That's all I'm saying.
Needs to stay at Jack's Beach, okay?
Like, he's a Nocatee guy now.
Nocatee, Jack's Beach.
He's more of a pontoon boat.
No.
Pontoon boat now.
No.
Artificial beaches.
That's the first thing, okay? He probably took responsibility for the loss because that's the type of captain and person he is. But it is not his fault.
I'm interested to see. I'm gonna stop you right there because you gotta make those throws.
You gotta make those throws. But I said 2 months ago that these first four games were gonna be bumpy because I knew, and this is just saying my opinion, is the timing is going to be off because you can't replicate what you saw on Sunday in practice, in the Bahamas, in Clemson, wherever. Okay, they could have went on retreat somewhere. They can't replicate that. The timing's all off. The offensive line played like absolute garbage in the first half. No time to throw. Getting, you know, the choppy feet. Trying to rush things, making some good reads. Then they, you know, he settles down. They start to come back, but then they just don't make enough plays at the end, and Washington does. And that's where the second point goes. This is, to me, in my opinion, this falls on Dougie Fresh. Doug Peter, that's my name for him. Dougie Fresh. Okay? Because he thinks that this whole, hey, we ran the ball great, but I don't want to do that. I've got this shiny toy at quarterback, okay? We're going to just throw it because we can, because we have the receivers and we got Trevor and we can throw it. Forget that. We were gashing them in the running game. Gashing them. 6 yards a carry? Most teams would kill for that. He should have run Etienne and Robinson. If Robinson's healthy and he's ready to go, okay, and you've just made this comeback, and you've got the ball back after another pick that went through in the fourth quarter, and you can get in the red zone and end it, and then they do dumb stuff? No. No. You keep going. Oh, well, we wanted to bring Robinson back slow. Fine. Put ETN in. He only had 4 carries. He could have got another 6. He could have got another 10. My point is, you had something that was going for you, and you decided to go against it because, as Bill Parcells used to say, you got cute. Like Pete Carroll type stuff, throw the ball at the goal line. 42 times in a game he threw the ball? 42 times? Come on. No. No. I blame him. End of story. Move on.
You're playing both sides because you just said, like, you know, that he was making some execution and making some great plays, but then in the same breath you're saying that
it's two different points.
But all I'm saying, the 42, okay, yes, the 40, I agree with you. The 42 drop back or the 42 pass attempts, that's got to come down. I would be more comfortable with Trevor being at 30, and those other 12. Yes. Those other 12 opportunities being either in the run game, being jet sweeps to Agnew, or something like that, you know. But those other 12 attempts have got to be distributed somewhere else on the field. I think for him, since he hasn't, in my opinion, necessarily proven himself to be worthy of someone that can get out there and throw the ball 42 times and be successful with it, we can't win it on his arm. Like that, we should have to, because again, if he's been anointed as this generational talent, this generational quarterback, this generational player, and that's not his fault that people are putting that title in front of him, but the expectation is big. And if he's going to drop back and throw the ball 42 times, you know, you got to hit ETN slipping out of the backfield on 4th-and-1. Say whatever you want about that being cute. The play was there. It wasn't executed. Same thing with Zay Jones. The play was there. It wasn't executed. So, I mean, it's got to be to the point to where you got to take the ball and take the control out of his hands until he earns that generational, or he earns the right to throw it more than 30 times. The same thing that they've done with past quarterbacks here. In my opinion, you got to earn the right to be able to sling that ball. You got to earn the right to be a gunslinger. You have to earn the right and show that you can prove, when the game's on the line, what are you going to do? And I think it's too early, especially with them having their 18th start, or with him having his 18th start, for him to be still dropping back and throwing the ball 42 times, and you were only down, you know, you only lost the game 6 times. That, in my opinion, that last fourth, the fourth quarter drive, I think there was 9 minutes left on the clock. They were moving the ball with the run, and they went away from the run because it wasn't being – they went away from they went to the pass because I guess they saw some things that they could, that they thought they were going to be able to execute. But even with him being the generational person that he is and the generational talent, quote unquote, he needs to be able to make the checks and say, hey, this is what we're seeing. We're running the ball. We need to do this. In my opinion, generational and gamer and having that dog in him and everything else like that, all these things that people are saying, he needs to be smart about some of the plays that he's seeing and seeing and being smart about some of the things that are being executed there.
I agree with a lot of it, just about everything you say. But what I'm saying, it was a two point statement. The first point was Trevor missed some throws. Okay. He made some plays. He missed some plays. And that's because of the
same thing in training camp. He wasn't hitting the plays in training camp as well.
It's because of the timing. Okay. The timing's not there. And it's going to take a while for the timing to get there. What I'm saying is, as a head coach, Dougie Fresh, you should know this, okay? He should know this. And when you've got 6 yards of carry with 2 guys back there, hey, you get, you know, the big boys up front, be like, look, you guys have played like absolute hot garbage, but I need you to block for 10 minutes. I need you to get after it for 10 minutes. Or if you do want to throw it, here's one thing you could have done. I'm not a big guy on slips and screens, but the Washington defensive front was killing us so much in the first half, you got to slow him down. You could have run a slip, a screen with Etienne. Put him and Robinson in the game at the same time. Put Etienne out and motion him in. Slip him under. Do something, anything to protect your quarterback, not drop back 7-step drops every time. The game plan was executed poorly, and they gave Carson Wentz too many chances. And Carson Wentz was probably a little bit motivated because things didn't end too well for him and Dougie. And it cost us.
And you said that it's going to take some time for him to get, you know, to get the timing down and everything else like that. But now we're in, and this could allude to what you were saying about, you know, the Doug Peterson, you know, being on him and everything else like that. But now these games count. Every snap counts. So they better figure something out quickly, because if you can't keep losing because of lack of execution, because lack of execution is going to get you run out of town. Lack of execution is going to get people starting to question your talent, which they already are after 18 games. Imagine what another 6 games of lack of execution is going to be doing. He just can't make the throws. He just can't do this. He just can't do that. You know, he's got great talent. He's got this, but he just can't do that. So when does the light bulb switch for him to become a gamer and start producing and making the plays? The only reason why I say that is because last night you watched Monday Night Football. You watched Geno Smith. Geno Smith execute and make plays.
But Geno's been there with the same 2 receivers, okay?
Oh, what?
In the same system.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not calling Geno an NFL starter or a great guy. I think they'll stink the rest of the way. But he's been there for, like, what, 3 or 4 years? He's been there. That's all I'm saying.
That's been Russell's show for 3 or 4 years.
But it doesn't matter.
He's getting scraps. He's getting scraps.
It's more than Trevor got with these cats. He hasn't gotten that much yet. They have to give it time. And I'm not saying years, okay? I don't think it's years. Personally, I think it's like 4 or 5 games.
4 or 5 more games?
They have to give it time.
4 or 5 more games.
Before you start seeing them really click. I'm not saying he's going to miss every throw. I'm saying you have to give it at least another 4 or 5 games before you really start seeing them click. Now, that's saying, oh, he's not going to miss every throw. But you're going to see improvement. Game 2, there's going to be improvement. Game 3, there's going to be improvement. I doubt he's going to regress, is what I'm saying. He's going to progress.
But is that going to put it, so as we continue to progress with, I don't know, with Trevor and the team right now? You don't think other teams are improving? What sure I'm saying is that how is he going to take the – when is the switch turn on for him to be a gamer and to take control?
And this is where Doug comes in and he makes adjustments and does things to protect his young quarterback. You do things differently. You change it up, okay? Throw the ball. Don't throw the ball more than 30 times. Hell, 25. If you got two guys that are going to get going in a running game like that, gash them, wear them down. If that's what you got to do to win, who cares? Just because everybody has fallen in love with the passing game and it's what puts fans in the seats and it's what people want to see on TV doesn't mean you have to do it to win.
I mean, you can run the ball and win. Look at Tennessee.
Exactly. Tannehill is garbage. Tannehill is hot garbage. But Tennessee continues to win. Tennessee continues to beat us, okay? And they do it. But Derrick Henry, which, by the way, although I don't care if he was jumping or not, that hit that that Giants linebacker laid on him, like I text y'all, that's the first time I've ever seen him get hit like that. That was a wild. That was like, oh, shoot.
I think the tweet you sent was like Derrick Henry feeling like what it gets to get hit by Derrick Henry. Feels
yeah.
Like.
Uh-huh.
Is that the theory that he was jumping or something?
Yeah, that he was in the air and he got hit midair. But no, my thing is fine. You are absolutely right. They're not going to wait for him if he's going to keep making the same mistakes. But hello, Dougie. Okay. Are you going to keep beating your head up against a concrete wall and keep giving him 45 throws? Or are you going to cut it down, run the ball more, and win that way? Until that comes through, which I believe it will, keep running the ball. If you can't run the ball, then I get it. You have to throw. But you have to do something to protect your young quarterback. Like, you know, you don't want to compare all the greats and stuff, but look at it. Like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
That's what he keeps getting compared to, though.
Yeah, but their second year in the league, they weren't throwing for 50. That's what people remember them for. They weren't throwing for 50 touchdowns and 70%. They were throwing for like 65, 64%, 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns. That's okay. That's okay.
How many W's did they get, though?
But see, here's the thing. Belichick was smart enough to run the ball and play defense. I'm not sure about Manning, but Belichick was smart enough to run the ball and play defense. So
Were you guys? Go ahead.
No, I just – and that's just what they – I think, in my opinion, they just have to dial it back. Dial back the throws and run the ball more.
So on that note, I mean, James Robinson probably kind of exceeded expectations from what you guys were probably expecting, right? Coming off that injury.
Oh yeah, that is insane. It's insane, and I think that they're just trying to, you know, work him back in. I think they're trying to work him back into the rotation. But again, I mean, if that's his first game back, you know, from an Achilles injury, 11 for 66. If ETN is moving that way, you know, off of a Liz Frank injury as well. I mean, he had 4 for 47, you know, but he was a much better factor in the passing game as well. I'm excited about that unit. I'm excited about the offense, about the running backs. I really want to see if we can, that's what maybe, and Derek, I agree with you in a sense of if they do decide to come back or dial the throws back, or they need to dial the throws back, the attempts. But those 12 other attempts or those 12 other offensive, you know, instead of we're having, 42, if we had a 30 and those runs, I mean, I can only imagine how many more, you know, touches or how many more, you know, yards we would have had. Just what the outcome could have been by running the ball more and really taking control of the clock.
Yeah. What about
No, it's just crazy. I wish they would. I mean, I hope that if he were to have that, those last 10, 11 minutes back of the game, that he would do things differently. Knowing, you know, hearing how he is, he would probably say no, but yeah, but I think that he would have had a different outcome had he changed things up.
I got thrown off a little bit because I was looking at ESPN and they had a picture of the Colts kicker being waved, Rodrigo Blankenship. Have you seen that guy?
He played for Georgia.
Yeah, he kicked for Georgia. Every Gator fan knows him. Yeah, he made some big field goals against them.
So does he suck or something? Why is he getting waived in the first week of the season?
Man, because kickers are a dime a dozen, man. They're starting to bring him in and out. And he had a terrible game yesterday. I think he kicked two of his kickoffs went out of bounds. So, you know, that's automatically a penalty right there. And I think – I don't know how many field goals he missed. But, I mean, probably an overreaction, but the Jaguars have had nine to 12 kickers, you know, in camp and on the team since, like, July.
Yeah. Who was the guy – was the guy who kicked Sunday different from the guy that we were using in the last preseason game?
I have no idea. I
was confused by that.
Who, what – and then especially with the numbers, too, like Aluakon – like changing over to 23, I had no idea that like when he took the field, I guess they must have made the change like either Friday or Saturday, probably Friday. But yeah, he's out there on the field. I'm like, who the heck is 23? Like who is this out here?
One other thing on the running game, just because I'm so curious as to what you guys thought about ETN. I mean, just from first glance of seeing him out there, you know, he seems like he's going to be a star player. Gamer.
Dude, gamer. I'm just telling you this right now. Wait till you see the game speed. I think I don't know how he did it in the preseason. He looked fast in preseason, but as the young kids say, he's skating out there today. Like now, it's insane. He's so fluid. He's so smooth when he runs the ball or when he gets out in like in the open. Like seeing it on TV is one thing. But seeing it in person, man, it's just super excited. Oh, fun fact, we sat behind – or his dad sat behind us at the game. So he was like four rows back and was loud and proud, which is awesome because his brother
that is cool.
plays down in Gainesville also. So you got the one son playing on Saturday night. Don't laugh about that. One son playing on Saturday night, and then you got you know, the oldest son playing on Sundays. I couldn't imagine.
What, did the Gators lose or something? Is that why?
Yes, did they lose?
Yes. Boy, did they lose.
They went from high as could be to about as low as could be.
The funny thing about that, before we were actually going to go out on Saturday night to watch the Gator game, one of the guys I was with was like actually contemplating putting money on Anthony Richardson winning the Heisman. I'm like, bro, it's such a long season. I was like, do not do that after one game. After one game against Utah, like I know it's great, but don't do that. And his Heisman hopes went out the window on Saturday.
Well, on another first-round pick who had a really good game and had an awesome interception, Trayvon Walker, that was pretty impressive for his first regular season game.
That was insane.
That was one of the best football plays that you – could see. They could put that on a tape of like 100 greatest plays in the last 25 years, and it would make that list easily. You're not supposed to be that big and do that.
Dude, did you see how far upfield he was and basically
engaged.
He was on a block, yeah, and then engaged. Shed the block, yeah, and then jumped right into the passing lane, which was crazy.
So think about
Josh Allen had a good game too.
Uh-huh.
Think about this now. You have to be engaged. You're upfield. You're looking at the quarterback. You see the ball about to be thrown. So you have to take a 6'5", 6'4", 300-pound man, throw him to the side, then go back in to your left side, and then catch the ball. Even if it was a screen, I don't care. Like... no, like that's unheard of.
Unreal play.
I'll say that when they drafted him, I was one of the ones that I wasn't saying, no, don't do it. But I was kind of like, I don't know about this. I was wrong. We made the right pick.
Just raw talent with that guy.
He's good. Dude, yeah. He's so good. He's such a good football player. I think also, too, that pick that Tyson Campbell had, also, that was just an amazing jumping of the route and grabbing that. And then I think they had a turnover. They had a fumble that was recovered as well. So I think three turnovers in one game, and they had seven all of last year. That's crazy.
What did because I didn't look at the Lions stuff. How did Hutchinson do in his first game?
Like not crap. Well.
Oh, like crap.
Yeah, yep. not very well. Like I mean, depending on what side of the coin you follow, or are you follow on with PFF? Some people hate it, some people love it. But they had him ranked. They had him ranked pretty low.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess it's one game, but still, that's nice. Yeah. Any other thoughts on the Commanders game before we switch to the Colts-Jags for this Sunday?
From a defensive perspective, Derek, I want to ask you, that last drive you got – or excuse me, the last scoring drive that they had, how do you get the team motivated to stop someone? I mean, that's not – I mean, like, how? Like, they drove the ball – literally down the entire field. And it's like you got to make a play. So this falls along the same lines of them learning how to win, learning how to get off the field on third down. Like, why did, like, that just so aggravating to me to see them convert and convert and continue to convert. And then Jahan Dotson makes a great play, and I think Tyson Campbell was more scared about getting the PI versus, making the actual play on the ball. But, Dotson makes a play, and then there you go.
The penalties, I think, played a little bit of a factor, not in that drive, but the defense in general. For the whole team, actually, the penalties made a play. But that's something they have to figure out to rise to the occasion and get off the field. Trayvon Walker had a sack. That's great. Other guys played well. But for the most part, Carson Wentz went, his pocket was fairly protected. Especially when they had to have a play. That's the thing. When the Commanders had to have a play, they made a play. Nobody got to them. When they had to have it, they had it. And on those, what did they call it? Money downs, right? Third down or fourth down, money down. On those money downs, they had it. And that's where they got to rise to the occasion and say, hey, they're not getting it today. The defense, same thing. They'll be okay. I'm not saying they're going to be a top five defense in the league, but they have pieces that where they can make plays.
You said top five.
Yeah, top five. Yeah, they have pieces where they can make plays, and they've proven they can get turnovers. When's the last time you seen us get like two picks in a game?
One was just an absolute freakish play.
Yeah.
So I'm not expecting Trayvon Walker to get a pick every game. If he does,
I'm not going to sit here and say I knew every coverage that they were running, but they have to lock up better on those money downs. You can't let guys get behind you. I mean, these guys play in the NFL, so they're good. But from NFL standards, they have a couple of mediocre wide receivers and then the one kid, one guy, what's it, Terry?
Terry Clark. Oh, man, Terry.
Yeah.
He's absolutely good.
But he wasn't killing us.
He roasted Shaq Griffin.
It was Samuel. Samuel was getting
Curtis more Samuel third. Was bro Curtis Samuel was just unreal athletic and unreal after like his yak yards, like his moves and stuff after the catch, where Darius Williams had no chance at all at making those plays. Like, no chance at all.
he was doing some things that I was just like, dude, are we going to cover him?
You got to tackle him.
Are we going to tackle him? We going to do something? You know, hold him, grab him, do something. Don't. My thing is, if you're going to commit a penalty, don't commit the penalty after they get a big gain for an add-on. Get the penalty and prevent them from making the play.
Yeah.
Like, you know how many add-ons they had?
Yeah.
Man, I felt like we were at a car dealership and people, they just kept getting add-ons.
Just getting the insurance.
Yeah, they just kept getting add-ons, man. I'm like, God, don't.
With the finance guy? I hate that part.
Like, bro, that's the worst part. They bring you back there to that office. And he's got that old, like, 1970 printer, and it's just like the long roll of paper. And somehow they can always fit it in the envelope. They can always get it in the envelope, and you take the envelope out one time. It's like an accordion. It's not.
Now, if that's we increase your payment each month by $50, you're going to get six car washes. You're going to get.
and you'd hear after the play was over, you know, foul, da 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 da, adding additional. I'm like, dang, man. If you're going to commit a penalty, don't let them get. But, you know, and I don't know really how often that happened, but there was one or two times where I was like, good night, man. We can't get off the field. And those are just downs we got to have defensively. Yeah. Whether if it's creating pressure, I can tell you our rotation didn't look all that great. Not sure what. I know they made some releases there to, you know, right as preseason ended. If they're going to look at other pieces along the defensive line, especially at tackle, we were able to fare well against the run, but I think that could have gotten uglier. If the Commanders wanted it to, but they were having so much success in the short passing game because none of the receivers, I think, for the Commanders hit 400 yards, but they were getting, you know, six yards. And
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, they were just getting 4, 5, 6 yards routes and turning it into 12, 15 yard gains.
I mean, they held the Commanders pretty much on rushing yards. You know, I think the Jags won that like 123. The Commanders had 85. you know, as far as third down efficiency, just looking at some of the breakdowns of it, I mean, Washington 7-10, Jacksonville's 3-12, just like that. You know what I mean? We only got home one time on Carson Wentz, one sack. Both had three punts, but yeah, the penalty yards right there. What you're talking about, man? The penalty yards: 13 for 90 versus 6 for 63. So I think that the penalties got to cut down as well. And then also, you know, the third down efficiency, as far as from the Jags go, you have to keep staying on the field. That's one of the things we talk about too, as far as playing the field position and TOP, the time of possession battle. So, you know, yeah, I think that if they can go ahead and get those things together, I'm hesitant about Sunday, about getting the dub. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
They need to stop Jonathan Taylor. They need to stop him. You can't let him go off. I think Matt Ryan and Michael Pittman got, you know, they were able to get, you know, some decent numbers up. They did well. But a lot of that, one, Houston's is it defense. I mean, good night. They get, you know, they played decently well, it sounds like, but they at the end, you know, they still had their yards. And didn't that game end in a tie, by the way?
Yeah.
Didn't they end in a tie?
Yeah, I think they said nobody in the AFC South had a win.
South won. Yeah, like, come on. but yeah, stop Jonathan Taylor and it'll be a lot easier. You let Jonathan Taylor go in the run or passing game. It's not just running the ball, he'd catch the ball at the backfield too. He'll hurt us bad. And, you know, Matt Ryan, he's older Matt Ryan, but he's proven he can still throw for 300 yards. We gotta play sound football. Don't get caught in, you know, don't get caught with, you know, like we were against Carson Wentz and just get off the field on third down.
I wonder if Gus Bradley and Yannick Ngakoue have, like, a point to prove. Got to, right?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about Gus Bradley being with the Colts. That's a good point. Oh, Yannick Ngakoue is with the Colts, too? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, Ngakoue, that's crazy.
Ngakoue, and I think he had something to say today, or like something about like this one feels different or something like that.
Oh, shut up. You know what I mean? Like, shut up. Or him and Tony Connor fighting on Twitter again.
I mean, what if Tony set that up for his AEW?
That would be kind of cool, actually.
Saturday night Ngakoue before the game.
That would be cool.
Yannick Ngakoue and Gus Bradley versus Tony and Shad. And the tables, ladders, and
Shad,
chairs.
Shad. Why does it have to be in Shad? Why can't it be like an equivalent?
No. Tables, ladders, and chairs. Tony Khan and Shad versus Gus Bradley and Yan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's tweet it to him. For anybody out there listening, I'm a huge AEW person now, so definitely tweet me if you want to chat about pro wrestling. But, yeah, I'm excited for the game Sunday.
It's the home opener, man. I'm super excited about, like, being there. But, again, like, I've been telling everybody, you are what you are until you're not. And until, you know, they can win a game. I know the Colts haven't won here, you know, since like 14 or something like that. I'm just saying, man, the lack of execution on the little things, they need to happen.
I hate that stat, by the way. I really hate that stat because it just makes you feel like they're due to win. You know what I mean?
Eventually, streaks come to an end. You know, they come to it in. I think the Jags opened today from the sports books. Not that I know anything about that or anything. But I think they opened up as a 4-point favorite in the game. So
what?
I mean, but yeah.
They opened up as a 4, like minus.
What? Jags minus 4. Yeah. They opened up as a 4-point favorite. But then again, you got to look at
it. I'm looking that up now. I can't believe that. Hold on.
Yeah, I think I saw that also, just Googling randomly for Jags Colts.
Hold on.
I don't even know.
All right, so.
I don't know anything about the gambling stuff, but.
Yeah, Jags, why? Jag, da da da, 4-point.
This is the good content.
No, 4-point
right
underdog.
While somebody looks stuff up.
Is it a 4-point underdog?
Yeah, 4-point. I was going to say a 4-point favorite?
I thought it was a 4-point favorite.
Oh, man, no way, man. I'd be putting money on that.
Probably still going to put money on it now. 4 points. You know, that you can get that.
No betting on your favorite team. Absolutely not.
Learn that
lesson. It's a winnable game. It's a winnable game. They just have to go out and execute. They have to do, and I think – Trevor Lawrence throws for less than 30 times, they win. If he throws for one more than 30, they lose.
31?
If he throws 31, they lose. If he throws for 30 or less, they win.
What if he throws 30 in a screen? 30 in a screen.
They lose.
They win, I don't care, okay? If they win and he throws more than 30, then I'll eat my words. I was wrong, sorry. But they won, so who cares?
Yeah.
But less than 30 throws, they win.
I don't know, man. Something feels weird about this one. I hope they win. I want them to win because it's going to be the first game back. And then on top of that, after that, if they don't win here at home this weekend, the next time they're at home is like in October against the Texans. October 8th, I believe. Yeah. Dang. So, I mean, they got a good road. They got a good little road test ahead of them. So I think they got to get a win here, man. But again, you gotta get you gotta execute. You gotta go out there, keep running the ball, run J Rob, run ETN, hit Zay Jones on a couple plays, maybe. But yeah, man, they gotta stick to the run. They gotta keep pounding the ball.
Any game day experience expectations that you might have? Because I know it's really hard for this to live up to the season ticket holder exclusive event. Hopefully they'll have the same amount of vendors and activities.
Game day experience, I'm waiting for it, man. I felt like I was Clark Kent out there at Washington, you know, and I just was looking for my phone booth, aka good old grill that I wanted to fire up. But no, I think as far as, you know, this goes, man, this is what, you know, Jags fans, everyone's looking for. A lot of Jags Twitter are excited about being at the game on Sunday. I take first home game, divisional rival. Couldn't ask for anything better, in my opinion. Plus, they could take the lead. They could take the lead in the AFC South with a win.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That'd be interesting. One thing I would like to note is I would like the Jags to quit messing with the Move Those Chains chant, because I feel like every year they do something to jack it up even further. So I don't know if you noticed in preseason, but they had like a voice that they played over the speakers that says Move Those Chains, and it's not at all in sync with the people saying it after the first down's announced. So I think there's a conspiracy to get rid of that chant, and I actually really like it. I know it's cheesy, but they're ruining it. And then I had another thought, because I was at Bucky's over the weekend.
Oh!
And, yeah, walked into the bathroom, you know, first of all, nice bathrooms, but, you know, the thing that stood out to me right away was that there are dividers between the urinals. And I've spoken about this many, many times before, but we have one of, like, how many NFL teams in the entire country, and our bathrooms can't stand up to a convenience store? I mean, I know Bucky's is probably, like, high-end.
Whoa. Bucky's is not just a convenience store. First of all.
Yeah, well, you're missing the point.
First of all. No, and second of all, I have been to a number of NFL stadiums. The urinals are great compared to the trough. And if you know, you know what the trough is. So it could be worse, Corey. You're acting, you know, the little dividers. You know, everyone looks forward anyway. Just look at the bricks.
Not everybody. There's some weirdos out there. I've seen enough Law & Order SVU to know that that's not true. Yeah, so I think I just need to stop wearing flip-flops to the game. I just feel like I feel a little bit of moisture when I shouldn't whenever I'm in there.
Are you kidding me? You wear flip-flops to the game and go into the public restroom?
That's my issue. And I can't do the thing where I wait for the stall to open up, because then you look like that guy that's like, oh, what? You're like waiting for the stall for some reason? Like, what's wrong with you, you know? So I just suck it up, go to the urinals, and then just take the risk. I mean, we've talked about this year after year, I think, but it's particularly disgusting at halftime when everybody's like running in there and it's just like hot and sticky, and you got drunk people just like, you know, with poor aim. And,
bro, you have got to get better tickets then if you're worried about the bathrooms. Go to the club.
Oh, shut up. I'm not in club, but I mean, I'm not also in the upper deck either. I feel like they could do some minimal upgrades. Yeah,
the troughs are in the four.
But I am curious. Oh, there's troughs? No, there's not troughs.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Okay. Yeah. I used to have upper deck seats back in the day. But the one thing, and then I'm going to shut up about this and we'll wrap it up, but I am curious to see if they have the soda machine turned around facing the fans again, because if they are, I'm about to steal some Diet Coke.
What would be really good is if we could have like
Derek's face.
If we could all have like GoPros attached to us and have individual game experiences.
Oh, so that'd be fun. Yeah.
Yes. Mine would be just like, mine would probably look like the Joker when he was running around Gotham.
That'd be fun. I like that idea. Mine would be boring as hell. I don't do anything exciting at the games. I do like to observe your bathroom adventures. I'd have to probably cut it off
You go to Wet n Wild every Sunday, apparently. So
easier to rinse my feet off than it is to rinse a shoe off, I think. But anyway, I spend a little too much time looking at the street preachers that are outside the stadium and the people selling like the bootleg Jaguars merchandise. I think that stuff's interesting, but. Anyway, okay, so good podcast. Looking forward to the game Sunday. Hopefully, like Derek said, we can win and take first place in the AFC South, which sounds ridiculous.
That was me, but you know, we all look alike.
Oh, that was you? Yeah. I'm going to ignore that last comment. Oh, one other thing. I was in Gate the other day, and they don't have that hot dog promotion anymore, so they learned their lesson. All right, cool. Ooh. Good talk. So anyway, thanks for listening. We're on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify, Google Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review on your respective platform. And, of course, we're affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. So thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you next time.